What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Deathly Podcast. Welcome, welcome, Shira. It is a later recording. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was 9 o'clock. Like, I just looked at the clock. That's kind of late, right? For us.
Yeah, it is late for us to be recording. I'm glad that we're here, but, you know, maybe if you hadn't fallen asleep while you're watching football for a few hours, we would have got to it sooner. But glad that we're here.
I'm glad we're here too, Shy. Let's tell the people about our day. I mean, we had a pretty busy day. Our lovely daughter had her first gymnastic tournament. And boy, it's been a long weekend for you because you had to volunteer yesterday. But what did you think of how the day went, Shire? It was a long day.
It was long.
Right?
But it was good. I'm excited for her. She's starting her gymnastics career.
Yes.
And she did very well.
She did.
So I'm definitely proud of her.
Yes. We embarrassed her, you know, as we do. But it was a long day there. And then when I came home, watched the game, and I don't know, I just fell asleep. I just dropped. So now we're here, we're recording, and we're glad to be with you all. Shire, we got a few things to talk about. One we're going to get to is we were on the news. Sharing.
Yeah. We had hinted at this a few podcasts ago.
Yes.
That we had an interview with someone from Scripps News. And sometimes you do interviews and you don't know if anything's going to come from it.
Right.
But this one, it was legit, y'all.
Yeah.
And the story came out. And the writer, I think her name is Meg Hill.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, excuse me. Meg Hilling.
Meg Hilling. There we
go. Meg Hilling did a wonderful job on this article. And we hope that y'all will check it out.
Absolutely. And we're going to run that in its entirety. It wasn't too long, but it was very well put together and very insightful. Then we'll talk a little bit more about it. But Shire, before we get there, we got a couple of current event things I want to get to. So you ready? We want to start doing a little bit more of this, right, on the pod. Just not beating you guys over the head with financial stuff. I mean, we've done that, and we will do that.
I don't try to beat anyone
over
the head.
No.
I feel most people are doing the best that they can.
Yes, but we're going to give y'all a little commentary and observations on other things, because, you know, we got some things jumping off, Shire. It looks like, and we don't touch on this very often, but we just gonna have some fun. We're gonna get our jokes off on this. It looks like we're gonna run it back from 2020. Biden and Trump seem to be the two that are gonna be going head up.
Is that your prediction,
Shire? Ron DeSantis just conceded, and he was the only guy who was in the number two spot going up with Trump.
Marcus, but there's a woman.
We do have the Nikki Haley lady, but she was a distant third in the race. So it's definitely looking pretty obvious that
she still in the running?
She's still in the running. We have to give her the due process, but come on now. It's looking like Trump, Biden, the battle of the old men. What are your thoughts on this?
I think we just have to see what is going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been following too closely, but I feel like every time I see Trump's name, it's because he's on his way to court, or he's in court, or there's just a lot of legal things happening with him right now. And Biden is just trying to forgive student loan debt. We're still talking about that. And, I really don't know what's going on.
Shire, you know, and we're not saying who we going for or who you should. We ain't doing none of that. But what we're saying is this. Why would you want to do anything from 2020 over again? Right? One of the worst years of recent memory, and we're replaying the election from 2020 4 years later. It's just kind of crazy to me.
Is this the first time that this has happened, that a president,
let's think about that, Shar,
you know, didn't win a second term and is coming back to run again?
I haven't seen it happen in my lifetime.
I haven't seen it happen in mine either. But I really feel like Trump, to his base, will come out with, like, I'm an underdog. You mentality, know, people right, are right. trying to take me down, but mm-hmm. here I am. And, you know, I'm concerned that they...
Won't he be in jail, though? Like,
what'd you say?
I said, but he might be in jail. That's what I'm confused
I don't think
about.
Trump is going to jail.
Okay, okay.
But I don't know. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to know if the support for Biden is there when you're thinking of younger generations, like
yeah.
millennials yeah. and the folks who's
is millennial it Gen Z.
Gen Z. I just don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, sir.
And I wish that he would, you know, I don't know. Like, he knew this day was coming.
He knew this was coming.
And so it's like you didn't think to, like, mentor someone who could, I don't know.
Well,
I don't want to say anything rude.
I think your pride kicks in, Shire, because most presidents do dual terms. You know what I mean? Throughout, let's just go back from when we were kids. You had Bush 1. He did one term, but he went for two. Then you had Clinton, did two. You had Bush number 2, who did 2 terms. Then you had Barack, who did 2. So it's like, my pride is like, yo, man, I got to get my second term in. So I think Biden's just thinking, like, historically, I just go for my second term. That's what I do.
Well, he would know
84.
History with his... You know, I'm not, you know, knocking people who are old. I mean, look, I'm sorry.
Goes back to what your brother said about the older folks. Shout out to Ryan.
Well, I'm going to talk about you.
They're selfish.
No, I wouldn't call it selfishness. I mean,
they're selfish.
Think about your own life. You yeah. have a grandfather who's a pastor.
Right.
He's 90.
Right.
He's 90. And I think that, I mean, he can still preach. I'm sorry, he's 90, but yeah. I would say that he's probably one of the better preachers.
I'm team take your rest. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just because you can still do it doesn't mean that, like, I'm sure there's been a young person or a young brother who could have done a serviceable job that kind of was just like, well, I don't see that happening here.
I mean, but who could that be? You know, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean,
and a lot has changed. I mean, there are wars that are going on yeah. right now that weren't happening in 2020.
That's,
I think
that's
a lot has changed. There are a lot of, you know, issues. I know the student loan debt, you know,
yep.
and that crisis came up, and mm-hmm. there's a pandemic, and like I mentioned, there's wars. Like, there's yep. a lot going on in the world. We talked about inflation, and some say that's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But who will be the one
in
2024?
We're gonna keep an eye on it, Shire. I don't know, but boy, what a duel, right? The battle of the 2 80-year-old men.
Marcus, you just well,
here I am, 38, and that's who I have to choose. You know, it's just not fair to.
What do you mean it's not fair? Do
it's
you
not
be
fair
the
to the youth of the of society that, like, we can't get someone who's in their 50s, 60s. Like, Barack was so swaggy. Like, we didn't realize what we had with that.
Because I don't need swag in a president,
not
honestly.
Not swag, but youthful mind. That
I need wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah. But the youth projects to the nations, right? That,
but why?
Hey, they got something over there. They got a dog over there.
Marcus,
you
a
know
young
what I'm
person. I need someone who... When you say young, are you talking about 60s?
Yeah, I'm talking 50s. You know, I'm
okay.
not talking nothing crazy. But, you know, 58, someone in their 50s and 60s projects better.
Better to
strength
who?
Strength to the other nations. Like,
okay.
You know, you see somebody that is like, could die in any moment. When you're 84, you're living on borrowed time. Like, God has blessed you and you're living
I
in
say
overtime.
That. I wouldn't say that.
What is the average age of a male? It's 72, right? But might be older now.
A president is living an average lifestyle. They have access to probably the top doctors, top diet, top.
That's true. That's true.
Everything.
That's true. Well, we'll wait and see. We're gonna keep an eye on it. But I just thought that was interesting to get your thoughts on.
I mean, 2020. What's gonna happen in 2028? I mean,
Lord have mercy.
I don't know.
Neither do I.
It's going to be interesting.
Yep. All right, Shire. One more fun, quick topic.
Fun.
Yes. That one wasn't fun, but you know. But one more interesting topic before we get to the article we just were in earlier. Snoop Dogg.
Where are you going with this?
Shire. Snoop Dogg was propositioned by OnlyFans.
To do what?
$100 million to show that thing. But Snoop reportedly said, I have a black wife. She would not let that happen. For $100 million.
How offensive is that?
Would you? Child, well, we know for those who don't know, OnlyFans is a paywall site. This was supposed to be for, but it got out of hand and people started using it. Yeah, OnlyFans is supposed to be like Patreon. That's the original intent. But folks got behind that paywall and started doing things strange for a piece of change. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't think that a business will legitimately present that proposition.
They did. And the reason why they do it now is because they just want eyes on their application. They want people on there.
I wouldn't want to see that.
No one would. But they think that a lot of people would want to go on.
I find that, if that's true, I find that highly inappropriate. And I feel like it, you know, like it made me think of like the.
Come on, Shasha. Like I'm about to go deep, y'all.
Like the black, you know, buck stereotype.
Right, right.
And I just don't think that that's okay or funny. But it is late, so sorry.
It gets late, Shire get real serious. She doesn't find the humor in thing. No, I don't think it's. Well, you might be. You could go there. You know, I'll let you go there. I think that maybe has something to that. But I just think they just want a famous person that they think they can get that off on. And they thought Snoop is on. Shire, Snoop just did that thing with the fire pit. Some no-name fire pit company. He did. Snoop will sell cereal. Tennis shoes, floss. I mean, he sells everything. So I think they're
thinking. Except for that.
But I think their thinking was Snoop out here to get that money. So let's try to see if we can get him.
I have to look to do that. Something strange for a piece of change. I don't believe that, Marcus.
It's on everywhere. So I'm not making this up. Okay, so let's forget about the Snoop aspect. What would you do for $100 million? Think about the number. I just want you to think about that for 2 seconds. What would $100 million do? Or what I mean,
well, in the state of California and the way these tax codes are, I wouldn't have $100 million.
True.
I'd be lucky to get half.
60. Yeah,
you know, you said no, you ain't getting 60. You'd be lucky to get half.
Yeah, that's half.
And
right there.
No,
$50 million. Oh, that's not nine figures. That eight figures.
I'm not really interested. Sorry.
Okay, if you're Snoop's wife, are you saying, honey, go get that money, go get that check real quick?
Why would she do that? I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah, and that's what Snoop was saying. Man, my black wife ain't about to let me do that. What you think this is?
Marcus, did you know that I believe his daughter recently had a stroke?
Oh, Snoop Dogg. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, so definitely
prayers out to them. Yeah,
sending well wishes that way, and I just don't even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I don't. He turned it down, so I guess it's on the table from some other sucker.
Yeah, then we're gonna hear about Cat Williams talking about this and the conspiracy behind it all.
Yes,
and
that's where you was going. Sorry. You was going with getting in your Cat Williams bag. But anyway, all right. Yeah, that was interesting. Switching gears here, Shire. Switching gears here. Let's talk about this article we were in with Scripps News. Now, the cool thing about this, Shire, was you saw. Tell us how you found out about this, because we were waiting on the interviewer to like send us an email or whatever,
I don't even want to say.
Okay, you don't say where you were.
I was scrolling on the internet, yes, and I said, "Oh my goodness, that's Mia Marcus." Let me screenshot this.
Yes, on the MSN homepage, y'all. We made it, Mama. We made it.
So let's share the title of the article.
Yeah, the title of the article is:
Should you buy a rental property in 2024?
It says, the so-called financial hack is blowing up on social media. But listen to this couple's advice based on their own experience before you dive in.
I know you like that, Marcus.
I like that. I like that, man.
Because you're big on
people telling you you could. Let's just play the footage. Right? Let's play the footage and we're going to come back and talk about it.
Okay.
It's the financial hack that's dominating social media: the purchasing of rental properties.
I'm 28 years old and I own 65 rental properties. Here's exactly step-by-step how I did it.
This is how much rent I collect every single month on my 271 rental properties.
From TikTok to Instagram to YouTube, a lot of folks are posting about their rental property purchases. Many of them claiming that all it takes is a few simple steps and that there's tons of money to be made. But is it as easy as it seems? And is it a financial move you should consider in 2024?
Sometimes we have to maybe step away from the digital world and do our own homework. So we definitely preach that for sure.
Marcus and Shira Murray from Sacramento, California are the couple behind Black Married and Debt Free, a personal finance platform where they've been documenting their own financial journey, from paying off debt to investing in real estate to preparing for early retirement. They own 5 investment properties and say their decision to venture into the world of real estate wasn't made quickly.
I think sometimes people see other success and they think that it happened overnight. For us, the conversation about investing in real estate, it took place over a course of several years where we educated ourselves, we listened to podcasts, we read books, we talked to real people who had experience in real estate investing.
So how do they do it?
We entered this realm in a very unconventional way. As Marcus shared, we had a paid off home. We tapped into that equity to buy our first rental property cash. Over time, we did end up selling that condo that we had paid off. And when we sold that, it completely paid off that first rental property. And so that put us in a really great position.
In order to fund the purchase of additional properties, a lot of folks have been turning to a home equity line of credit, or HELOC. NerdWallet describes a HELOC as a second mortgage that gives you access to cash based on the value of your home. And they tend to have lower interest rates than other loans. But securing the funds is only half the battle.
We invest out of state. We live in California and we have properties in 2 other states because we just couldn't afford it to do it here.
Which is why the Murrays say having a clear and updated financial game plan is critical, adding that the economy can change on a dime. So put yourself in the best position.
For us, looked like making sure that we had low to no consumer debt and that we had emergency savings for our own household, but also emergency savings for the rental property.
The Murrays say it's important to note that being a landlord is not a responsibility to be taken lightly. From finding the property to making repairs to managing it, there's not much that's passive about owning a rental property, especially in the beginning. But it's not a weight you have to carry alone.
A lot of times, early real estate investors want to do it all, right? I want to manage, I want to find tenants, I want to vet the tenants. That's a lot of things to do. Like, let's say if you start with a really great real estate agent or broker, a lot of times they have already built relationships with the people you need to know, and you can tap into that through your real estate agent or broker.
But don't expect to make big bucks right off the bat, despite what you see online.
We like to tell folks that one property in and of itself might not change your life, right? The cash flow on just one property, it could be not what you're expecting it to be.
And remember,
you hear what folks are doing and it kind of gives you FOMO. It kind of gives you, anxiety because you want to be doing what you see others doing, but just continue to run your own race.
Meg Hilling, Scripps News.
Yeah, so that was that. Nasla, Shara, what did you think of that? I want to get your thoughts on that article, playing it back and hearing it. What'd you think?
I was really impressed. Yeah. I will say that. Yeah. Because if you have a moment and you do check the video out, they did a phenomenal job in like editing it. You know, because when we're talking, it's just on Zoom, right? But then they take it and they went and found some of like our old YouTube videos and added a clip and showed our website. And so I just really think that that she went above and beyond. Yes. You know. But I also, in terms of the content, I think that we were able to present, you know, a realistic view of real estate.
Yes.
You know, because they started off with, hey, I have all these doors. I got 271 properties. And it's just like, really?
Right, really? Right. And my thing for that is there's not enough time for that many transactions. Like, transactions take time. Escrow, you know, even if you're doing partnerships or doing all these lease to own stuff, like they act like it's so easy to do to just find someone who wants to give you a lease to own situation. You still, that's a whole lot of transactions in a short span of time. So that makes me question it, just knowing the process. But it also, like we said, it builds in this, I gotta do, everybody's doing this, I have to do this, I have, and it'll make you make rash decisions, you know, make you do stuff you haven't thought out fully. And I think with us, we're like a good example of slow, methodical, meticulous, you know, and doing it in a real way. We're not, you know, without kind of flubbing the numbers. I think a lot of people out there flubbing these numbers, Shire. I ain't trying to get all in their business, but I'm gonna keep it real with you now.
I'm not saying that, you know, to have that many properties is impossible.
No.
But I think that sometimes there's a lack of transparency.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're doing certain publications, like we've been in articles where we had to produce
deeds
and documentation that we actually own the properties that we said that we owned. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're on TikTok, you're on Instagram, it's just you know, it's just and everybody is not being untruthful.
Yes.
But you just have to, I don't know.
Just be careful.
Yeah, use discernment, you know. But I think there are some good folks that are giving out some good information. Yes, but I think with those individuals that were a part of that audio, they're probably selling something. They're probably,
there's a funnel attached. There's
probably some type of funnel, and that's what they use to finance the what they do have, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, ours is realistic in that it takes, you know, you need a down payment, and it takes real time for us to save that amount of money to be able to purchase a house.
Yes.
But I know we talked about the HELOC that we use for our first property. So, of course, you can be creative. But
right.
For most people, it's an empire that you build over
brick
time.
By brick, right?
You know? So, I don't know. But I think overall it was a good experience.
And a great experience.
Hopefully it was, you know, helpful to someone.
Yeah. Now, Shire, with the overall question of the article, why she got with us and connected with us, is 2024 a great year to buy? What's your final thought on that question? Do you think it's a good year?
Yeah.
Do you think things are going to turn around? What's your thoughts?
It could be. Mm-hmm. It could be. And, you know, we talked on the previous podcast about interest rates possibly going down. You know, coming down this year. Mm-hmm. And so that could open up some doors for maybe people who've just been waiting.
Yeah. They're at a 7th month low currently. So that's pretty, you know.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, you want to get into this arena to make money.
Yeah.
And so you know, if the numbers work out and you can get that down payment together and it's profitable, you know, you calculate it to be profitable, then it could definitely be a good move for you. Now, I wouldn't do it at a loss.
No.
Just to say that you do it, that you're doing it. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But it could be.
That's a great point, Shai. I like that you brought that up, because a lot of times people just think, man, just having a house, man, that's all I need. Like, and you're right. There's benefits to owning real estate that aren't necessarily monthly cash flow benefits. But at the end of the day, you don't want to be, you're not trying to create this new bill that you got to buy. An investment means you're getting a return. Right. It's not like you want to continuously be paying on one investment made. Now right. You've created a bill for yourself. You know what I mean?
Right. I know I had a conversation with someone, this was years ago, but she's like, you know, she was looking at buying a house, but you know, she would have to contribute. It was like $100 or $200 a month.
Right.
I told her, you know, that's not something that I would do, because that $100 or $200 could turn into much more. Because Guess what? You are not able to save reserves in case of a rainy day. Mm-hmm. So with cash flow that we receive, we're saving a good amount of that
in case something happens.
So if you already don't have any cash flow, anything that happens is coming out of your pocket.
Great point, Shai.
Anything that happens is coming out of your pocket, and things will happen. Mm-hmm. You know? So
That's a great point.
So hopefully y'all enjoyed it.
Yeah, we hope y'all enjoyed it, man. And we want to know what you all think. And are you excited about 2024? Do you think this is going to be the year to buy for you? If it's an investment property, or if it's your main residence, is this the year? You know? So I'm thinking about us, and I'm thinking, if we buy, and me and you've already kind of talked about it, some things would change, right? Let's say we got the interest down to like sub 6%, so like high fives. Well, realistically, I told the podcast on the QuickCast, our second house, the interest was 5.7. So let's say if we get it in that realm, we've done it before. So let's say like if that was the magic number that made us say, all right, we're going to go looking for another investment property. We're going to try to do this thing. Now, do you feel like we would be buying at a higher price point than we ever have, just because of how the home prices have changed? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, that house that you're talking about is worth almost double now.
Yeah.
So right. I probably wouldn't qualify for that house.
Wouldn't cash flow on the house now.
It would be difficult to cash flow depending on where you are in the country. But honestly, my opinion, which I know you probably disagree on.
Let's have it. Let's talk about it here on the podcast in front of the family.
That I am not, I want a brand new house. Mm-hmm. I know that older houses are going to have some challenges. Mm-hmm. And I would rather put money down on a newer house than to have a ton of repairs down the line.
What a full circle moment, Shire, because just like our presidential conversation, I'd rather put money down on a newer, younger president than an old rickety one, right? I agree with you. But no, you're right.
I don't know that you do agree with me, because I feel like we've had this conversation before. And I feel that I don't, you know, before we were starting, it was like, okay, I can afford something right now. I saved up just the right amount of money to get something. If I could find something good, and we usually do pretty good about picking them, mm-hmm. you know, but I just feel like.
Well, this is my.
I want something that's not even that all our houses are old, because at least the first two aren't that old, but the last three are kind of older. So I want something newer than those last three, Marcus.
So I love this, y'all. You guys are going to judge this, I don't want to call it a debate. Shire doesn't like that, but you guys are going to judge this conversation. So Shire made her point right there. I see her point. I honor her point.
No, he don't.
See, she thinks she don't believe me. And I receive it. My question is not a retort. It's just a question would be, it would be, first of all, let me first say, I agree with you. I would love a newer, nice house.
Not a new house. You're hearing a new house. I'm not saying you would like a something new nicer. House. I want something that's.
I'm gonna let her get this finished.
You know, not.
Yeah, some more.
You know.
Yeah.
Maybe less than 30 years old.
Got you. Got you. I too would like that. Even shoot, when I always laugh about this, Shire, and I'm getting to my point. When we were reaching out to the property manager and we purchased the 3-1, I was telling her the dimensions of the house. Yeah, we want you to manage our property. It's a 3-bed, 1-bath and everything. She like listened to all my information and then was like, yeah, okay, people like 3-2s. People usually like 3-2s.
People do.
But... Well, duh. Right? I'm sure people like 4-3s. But what I have is a 3-1. Uh-huh. So it really, yeah, I would love a 5-6.
Yeah, I don't know why she would say that.
But anyway, so back to Shire's point. So I would like a newer home too. But I think it'll be hard to cash flow on a new home because a new home is going to cost more. So then I say to myself, while I'm not excited at the age.
You can demand more rent though.
You could probably demand more rent.
Of course.
You have to see the numbers. So it's case by case. But let me ask you this about the three that you think are that kind of have you feeling this way. Are you in the red in any of your past investments, even if they're old and rickety? Are you in the red or the black on those?
I'm not in the red, but the houses that produce the most cash flow is obviously going to be the ones that are paid off. The ones that's paid off, but it's going to be the newer ones. You know, our first two have higher, they rent for more, and the cash flow is higher.
Got you. Okay, that's fair. I agree with that. And it would just give us more peace of mind. You know,
because it's still the unknown. On the front end. You make that sacrifice on the front end.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be all of your money. You know, you have the real estate funds are going to help.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it would be dope. And hopefully, man, I hope that there's a margin that makes sense for us going forward, Shire, because, man, we really got in at a good time, you know. I don't think the margins would be as good as they were. And I think that's okay. I think me and you will start finding other blessings in it. Like how you said, if we get a better quality house, the equity might jump faster. You know, maybe we cash flow half of what we're cash flowing now, but maybe the equity is so crazy that it really made sense for us to do that. Woo, woo, woo. So it may look different for us going forward. I don't know.
And I think you just evolve.
You evolve.
With experience.
You evolve.
And you change and your preferences change. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I am right now. I don't know if you're there, but I know that I'm there. And I know I don't know. Look, I have other things that I want to do.
Other things you want to do.
I don't know that I'm prioritizing.
Other things you want to do. And Shire, this market. We've been pouring into this market and we've been seeing the benefits thereof. So it's kind of hard to be like, let me go back and jump into real estate when my money is doing better in this investment vehicle. So that plays a part too.
And I think both are good.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the here and now, not zoomed out. Zoomed out, they're both great. You want to diversify. But right now, the iron is hot. The grill is hot on this eye. And this other eye ain't really working that good. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go ahead and boil my water here for now. But yeah, you definitely want to diversify, and I think real estate is incredible. It's incredible, and it's done some great things for us. It's a main part of our net worth, all that stuff. So yeah, 2024. Let's see what happens. I'm hoping for you, the listener, that want to invest, that this is your year. I believe that, Shire. What about you? Would you agree with me on that?
Yes. Okay. I mean, you don't want to act like you got a word all of a sudden. So it should just come from you. Just let it flow out, Marcus. Just let it flow.
The later it gets, the more churchy I get and the more serious Shire gets. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. If you did, do us a huge favor. And you guys have been doing this. So I want to thank you. We need the reviews to continue to flood in. Now I'm getting in my televangelist bag, Shire. We need the reviews on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify to continue to pour in, continue to bless us with those, because they go a long way. They make us visible on other people's algorithms. So we want to thank you in advance to those who have given, and you will be blessed. Shire, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I think you closed us out, and I'll just say yay and amen.
You all, we're out. Until next time, peace.
Bye.